In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Back to the wall of shame here. We've
Sorry,
got
yes.
One from our classic, a classic pod squatter, Ulrika. Mm-hmm. We went to Paris with her and she is very lovely. She says, I slapped someone accidentally in the face, flailing my arm through the finish line in a local 10K race. I absolutely love that one.
I love that. And you can totally see how that would happen because everyone does that thing of raising their arms up these days. You could totally, yeah.
Bash. Uppercut.
Amy here. I was running down a canal and I slipped and tripped over a bollard, which in itself is a funny word,
yeah.
And fell into a canal boat.
Oh my God. Immediately imagining if you've fallen onto a canal boat, then there's nothing for it apart from to just don a pipe and start setting sail.
Welcome to episode 181 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. In this episode, we kick off with a chat about our little therapy sessions, i.e. this actual podcast. Holly has been getting herself back on an even keel, and I have been getting very worried about some upcoming races. We also talk about coming to terms with running a bit slower as we get older, and the way in which a run can feel awful on one day and brilliant the next for no apparent reason. We then delve into your wall of shame embarrassing moments from the National Running Show, which we wanted to share with you guys because they were all superb. From public pooing to being overtaken by Ron Hill to our favourite of all time, which involves a canal boat. I shall say no more. We loved doing this so much. We want more of your embarrassing moments. Email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with the best bits of your runs so we can snort about them on the pod. Do think about subscribing to Women's Running right now because you'll save 50% off the cover price and you'll get a copy of our How to Run 5K guide absolutely free. If you don't need it because you're scampering over mountains, it'll make a friend very happy indeed. Go to womensrunning.co.uk/bundle to get the deal.
Sorry, I'm running again. Despite the fact that I know that it takes a really, really long time for healthy habits to have any kind of, like, you know, it takes weeks and weeks and weeks, isn't it? It's like if you start taking vitamins, it's supposed to take like 6 months or something ridiculous like that for it to have any kind of effect.
Oh, really?
Oh, ages.
I've been taking vitamin D since we were recommended it at the NRS by, yeah. I think it was Lena or Reenie or someone.
Yeah.
And I've genuinely been walking around for the last week, like, Yeah. Feel the rain on your skin.
I know. So I've been taking collagen because I was given some lovely collagen by Colo. So I've been taking that. I've been taking my vitamins religiously. I've been, instead of having crisps and chocolate at night, I've been having yogurt and fruit and seeds. And I've been doing this absolutely religiously for 2 weeks. And I have expected myself to kind of, I don't know, be this kind of glossy maned, kind of wet nosed dog of a person. And instead I've just been saying, still really tired and grumpy in the mornings. No change.
Oh, God. Well, I had a big wake-up call with all of that recently that's made me want to do yogurt and fruit and blah, blah, blah.
Why?
I had to get life insurance on Sunday. Oh, God, it's a real kick in the teeth, isn't it?
It's not great. No.
They just pick through your life and tell you all the reasons why. This company probably won't cover you because they... They're not betting on the fact that you won't die and they will actually have to pay it. It's like, bloody hell. I got, we got refused cover from one because of my anxiety. And I did kick off a bit about it because I was like, I know he couldn't help, but it was our mortgage advisor who was like helping us go through all the stuff. And yeah, I know it's not his fault, but I was grumpy. So I was like, can you explain to me why on earth like that is more likely to make me die? Because everything a GP and therapist has ever told me about my anxiety is it's okay, nobody dies from a panic attack the whole time. And now you're like, oh, these people won't cover you because of your risk factor. And he was like, yeah, but they're not looking at you individually, are they? They're looking at the stats. And I was like, that's what I mean. Like, who's died from anxiety recently? And he was like, he literally said, well, you know, people with anxiety, they can just be triggered like that. I know. And I've not really spoken to him since.
Oh, that is actually quite triggering.
I was like, what a shame. Because we had a good relationship. It also went up because of my BMI. So fat and mental, gonna die, was the energy that I got this weekend. I know.
Oh.
And then I went for a big mental health walk with some goats. And it was really nice.
That's nice. I do remember the life insurance thing being very upsetting, and to this day my life insurance premiums, is that what you call them, whatever it is that I pay every month, is double what Dave has to pay. And I'm like, okay, I exercise every day,
they
he
don't
sits
ask you
upstairs
that.
Doing fuck all.
Yeah.
It's
why? So annoying.
No, they don't. They're asking me about my wheeziness. They were asking me about a doctor's appointment I'd had where I'd had a chest infection that I hadn't cleared up. And then it was fine.
Yeah.
But because I'd had a chest infection and because they were trying to rule out some things, but which they then ruled out.
I know.
It was ruled out.
I know.
Because it was like, oh, God.
You've been to the doctor and you've done this and that, exactly the same. Yeah. I found it really annoying that it's almost punishing that you, like Doug hasn't been to the doctor, I don't think, since I've been going out with him. That's 11 years. I do not think Doug has been to the doctor. But I go to the doctor quite a lot because I want to make sure that things are okay. And also, as a woman, you can't avoid going to the doctor for long periods
of
time.
You have to go, don't you?
You have to go absolutely. Because of hormone stuff and contraception and whatever else, and smear tests and all of that. Like, there's plenty of reasons why you've got to go to the doctors all the time. And I felt like it was punishing you for having been to check things out. Like, the fact that I'd also been prescribed medication and been given counseling because of anxiety seemed to make it worse. And it was like, so if I was just hanging about, having a horrible time, rocking back and forth in the corner, I'm a safer bet than if I've actually received some counselling and taken...
That is the dichotomy, isn't it? The people that have actually requested support and are getting support are the ones that then get sort of taxed on it because, like, you're the one that's asked for help and has got help and is being supported. Idiots.
I know. And I found the BMI thing annoying too because, again, it was like, but you didn't ask me anything about how often I exercise. Incidentally... Mm-hmm. A lot more than Doug, who's a skinny pins. Like,
I mean, even stuff also, that could be a bit damning. Like, what kind of BMI, lifestyle I have? I do sit at a desk all day. Isn't that more important than...
The lifestyle you have is way more important. BMI is for shit. It's a really, really old-fashioned scale, which means nothing. You can't bracket people in stuff like that without even seeing them.
I know.
You can't, you know.
What if I have, I don't know, well, a huge ass? What if I have massive tits that I can't do anything about?
Well, actually, in a way, isn't it supposed to be your waist? Your waist measurement is a much better indicator, which I've always found a horribly finger wagging to myself, because I'm like, I don't have a waist. So, I don't know where to put the tape measure.
Oh, I mean, a guinea pig. Fair, at the moment, my waist measurement, I'm not too keen for them to come near that either. But okay. On the whole, it's all a bit naggy, isn't it? And it's like, oh, but we got it because I thought I probably should. But I'm not an insurance person, like by my very nature. I'm really not, like, I'm not a forward planner. I'm not, I'm certainly not somebody to sacrifice things in my immediate life for things that may or may not happen in the future. But I felt quite grown up because I decided to go for it.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing to do. And I don't think you can get a mortgage, can you, without you have to have it, don't you, when you buy a house?
I think you can get a mortgage without it, but they really recommend it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Buildings insurance and stuff, I think you have to have.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, right.
I think so. Life insurance, you don't have to have. The other thing that they try and encourage you to get is critical illness insurance. But we were like, ooh, fuck it.
Nah. Yeah.
Take the chances. With my blooming mad brain and fat ass.
Yeah. It'll be fine. We'll be fine. It's cool. It's all right. How are you doing other than that? Other than life insurance, how have you been doing?
I'm okay. I've been like, I've had quite bad residual anxiety over the last like week or so. I say residual. I don't know. It's not bothering me like in the day and stuff. It bothers me at night, which is just really annoying because when I've had previous, every time there's something new to my anxiety, I have to start the whole stupid process again of going, oh, it's a physical issue. I need to go to the doctor. Oh my goodness, I'm dying. And then realizing, oh no, it's just anxiety. Oh, but it's really not very nice. Oh, this is new, blah, blah, blah. I sort of have to go through that whole process again. Yeah. And I've had chest pains, which is quite scary and not something that I've been used to with my anxiety before. And I'm quite aware of the fact that I have been through the whole, do I need to see a doctor, and Googling symptoms and asking about health, about heart disease in my family and stuff. But I'm quite sure that it is, like, it's just at night. It's just when I'm sort of ruminating. I'm sure that it's connected to, it's not when I'm exercising or anything like that. But it's just a little bit, it's not very nice. It's a bit scary, but I'm fine, really. Horrible. It's just the night times. And then that sucks because at the moment I keep waking up and worrying and sort of waking up with a racy heart and stuff. And even if I do good things, like last night I had healthy supper and didn't drink anything and drank lots of water and I exercised that day and I'd had a really nice time with a friend in the evening. And it's still, even though I felt like I'd done all the right things, it still kind of got me, which is a bit of a bastard, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Is that kind of like the course of it? Is that what sort of happens when you have, because so you had that kind of horrible time towards the end of like the weekend at NRS kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And is that what happens with anxiety, with your anxiety, where it sort of tails off, but it's sort of still there motoring underneath?
Yeah, it'll usually, like, I definitely get, like, bouts. I don't know if it's the same for other people, which is also why I've often panicked even more about whether it might be a physical thing, because it will sort of, symptoms will last for anywhere between, like, a couple of days and a few weeks. Mm. And it won't be constant. It's just, like, previously it would be in the day, so I would like notice it every day. Now annoyingly I'm not really having it in the days, but I'll notice it every evening. And then it sort of tends to peter off again. Sometimes it comes back again for a bit and then peters off again.
But it does seem to, I get a bit concerned about the fact that it does seem to be like every 6 months I have quite a recurring big one. And it's been six months since I, well, it's been a year really since I had bad anxiety, but it's been 6 months since I last had a sort of bit of a blip. And that does seem to be the pattern, which is a bit concerning because it's like, why can't I shake it? Why does it keep? But it is less bad every time. This has been particularly bad because I've had a new symptom that I've been sort of, my brain's been fixated on. And that's, with that has come a whole load of new stuff to ruminate on. Like, can I hear my heartbeat? Is it normal? Does it feel like it's skipping? Blah, blah, blah. Lots of new stuff that I hadn't really been part of my particular thought cycles before.
Mm.
But in general, over the last three and a half years since I've had it, it's got better rather than worse.
And is there, are there things, I mean, if you're saying it's coming every sort of 6 months, is that like, is there anything, I mean, I know I'm grasping at straws, but anything that would enable you to kind of predict, you know, are there any sort of triggers coming up to those 6 months where you just think, oh yeah, I'm a bit poorly, or?
Yeah, I think it's when I'm a bit poorly, when I'm a bit run down, when I'm quite busy, the change of season. I would not be surprised if it was hormonal. Because I might experience little blips of it every month or so, but then like really bad every 6 months or something. I also am quite consciously aware, I don't think that this would affect it like this, because it's been, I've had progesterone before and stuff, so it's not like a completely new shock to my body. I've been on hormonal contraception before, but it did start a month after I had my coil fitted. And it's been every 6 months sort of that it's flared up since.
So, really?
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. I don't think it's enough to make me like want to get it taken out tomorrow, because I don't know that that's the reason. I had also had a really stressful year that year. So it's like, I don't know what kind of potentially the trigger is. But I do get my coil out, it's like next year or something. So I think I won't get it put back in and just see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. And it's all, when it's a stress trigger, and obviously we were going into a very, very stressful weekend, so that's kind of, well, I guess understandable, but really tricky to kind of minimize, isn't it? Like, it's a thing that we had to do.
Oh yeah. And I liked it, and like, I wanted to do it. That's the thing that sucks. I've had other like bouts of it. My original one that I got was after having like a really lovely weekend where it was a friend's birthday. We had like a bit of a family do as well. Like, it was like a really lovely, I had a friend today who we hadn't seen in years. It was all like really lovely social stuff. But I think that stuff is tiring, and especially post-pandemic when you haven't really been exposed to that. And it hit me really bad in 2021 when the world started opening up, was when it kicked off. So it's such a shame, because often it's things that I really enjoy, and NRS was definitely one. Like, I would never want to not do that. It's great. It's a highlight of my year work wise. But yeah, sometimes I think just overstimulation causes a feeling of being energized that my body sometimes struggles to distinguish between fear and excitement. Weirdo.
Well, I'm glad you said it.
I know.
Yeah.
It's been really helpful having the pod, because so many people have written in and said lovely things. And also, I feel like a lot of people said things when I first really struggled with it and when I first described what it was like. And I feel like I didn't reply to all of those people because I was in quite a all over the place at the time. But I did read all of them, and I was incredibly grateful, because so many people were like, oh, it's just really helps to know that, it sounds very cringy and cheesy, but it does really help to know that you're not alone, because that's a big part of the fear is no one else has ever experienced this. I'm dying. This is really abnormal. I need to go to the doctor. I need immediate medical attention. Something's awfully wrong with me. And just hearing somebody else go, no, I have exactly that same symptom too. It's really scary, but it's fine. You're safe. Is really, really helpful. And that's been a really big part of recovering from it. And that's a hugely down to the pod squad. Also down to my first therapist that I had, who did a survey of her other patients for me to ask them what their symptoms were. It was so helpful.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Really nice. Yeah, bless her. Oh. Yeah.
Everyone wants to help you. Everyone wants to help you. But it is lovely, isn't it? It's lovely being part of this kind of collective where we can have our little therapy sessions.
Oh, it's lush. Speaking of, do you want to tell me about how you're feeling? Because is it a week away or two, your half?
Oh, Hall, yeah, it's the week after next.
Okay, 2 weeks. 10 days, 2 weeks.
Week and a half, mm-hmm. 10 days. So I've got my first half marathon because I've got 3 on the trot coming up. And yeah, I am really worried about it. And I think it's kind of worth talking about a little bit about the way that even if you've achieved big things before, big things in the future that aren't quite as big as the ones you've done before can still feel quite mountainous. And mm-hmm. So my training hasn't gone, I say it hasn't gone well. It's been fine, and I've kind of largely enjoyed it, I guess, but I haven't pushed myself at all. I haven't really followed a structured training plan. I've certainly not done any kind of speed work or any intervals and things like that, but that has meant that the long runs have felt really painful. So I did 12 miles at the weekend, and it was incredibly slow, and I didn't like it. Like from about 3 miles onwards, I was like, I'm not enjoying this. And I just felt like I wanted to stop.
Well, that might just be what happens, I guess, if that's the worst case scenario. There's no worry that you can't do it. You've done it a million times. You've done 12 miles just last week. You know you can do it. But if that's how you're feeling at the moment, that it's feeling like a bit of a slog, it might just feel like a bit of a slog, but only a slog for a couple of hours.
I think it will. It's also like... I mean,
and then
I guess
have a big bowl of chips and be pleased with yourself.
I will have a big bowl of chips. I guess it's just the kind of it feels quite momentous. It feels quite unachievable, and I feel quite sort of sad with it as well, because I'm just remembering how I used to feel when I was training for a half, and how I felt like. But it was only the other day when I was trying to think to myself, well, when was the last time I did a half marathon? Oh, actually, because in my head I was like, oh, the last time I did a half marathon was Paris. That's not true. I did a half marathon in the New Forest.
And and you loved it.
Oh, I bloody loved it. But one of the main reasons there was lots of reasons why I loved it, but one of the reasons why I loved it was because I was in the middle of training for the New York marathon. So I felt as if, I mean, even on the day, I was like, oh, I could just do a 10K. Oh, what's the point in coming all this way and not doing a half? I might as well do a half. Like, to be in a position where you're like, oh, I can just bash out a half is such a nice, glorious, amazing position to be in.
Yeah.
And now I am not taking that sort of, taking it for granted, I guess, that kind of feeling of, oh, I can do 10 miles. It doesn't feel like that anymore. And I am kind of, I'm feeling a bit old, and I'm feeling a bit like sad for how I've aged and slowed down in a relatively short amount of time. So 3 years, 4 years, that like I look at my pace on my watch and it feels hard. And I think, oh my God, I used to run so much quicker than this, so much quicker than this.
Okay.
And that's quite a sad thing to kind of come to terms with. And I don't
know
if I should
just...
That
must be quite a sad thing.
It is.
That's fair to feel sad about that. My annoying peppiness side would... I'm gonna coach you. I'm going to Josie you now. I'm going to be Josie. Okay. Not that she's annoying. She's clever. I think that maybe that means that it's time to start... And I know that you do this anyway, but remembering to refocus on goals that are a bit different from speed, because that's completely normal. And you know that, like, we've spoken to experts who've been like, you know, women might slow down a little bit, but that might be when they start enjoying their running more than they've ever enjoyed it before. If you're finding it a bit of a slog and you're going, oh, I'm not running as fast, then maybe it's time to go, okay, well, fuck that then. Now I'm going to look at, like you've suggested to yourself, maybe a really beautiful ultra where you can still really challenge yourself because you're like, I'm running further than I've ever run before. But throw speed and stuff out the window, because I'm probably not going to run as fast as I did when, like, I think it's, you can train up to a certain point, but at the end of the day, we are all slowly dying.
God, that's cheered me up. I mean, I think the thing is, you can go in two directions, can't you? Because also the thing I've got in my head is the times when we've done chats at the NRS, and it wasn't this time, I think it was the time before. And we were reminded that lots of women in their 40s and 50s actually run better than they used to run when they were in their 30s, because they only start running in their 30s. And so, you know, after you've run for 10 years or 15 years or whatever, we're not talking about elite runners here. We're talking about normal runners, runners like us. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of had that in my head. I've also thought, actually, I mean, all of this comes with the fact, yes, I am running slower than I was 2, 3, 4 years ago, but I'm not doing, in the last 6 months, I have done zero speed work. And so if I wanted to get faster, then I should do that. Yeah,
then you know what you need to be doing, but
yeah,
I don't want to do it. I know, I was going to say, I'm not trying to tell you what you want, but I don't think you want that. Every time we've talked about it, you're like, this sucks.
Yeah, really, really sucks. Also, the other thing is, just before we came on and you were saying that your mate had said there are some runs that she enjoys and some runs that she doesn't enjoy with
Friend of the pod, Lex, is training for the Bath Half at the moment. And she sent me a voice note this morning saying, I would play it on the pod, but it's also got a lot of stuff about whether we wanted to do a crossword tonight. an exciting life.
It is exciting.
But she said that she went for a 6 miler on the weekend, and a 3 miler last night. Her one last night, she didn't intend on even being a run. She knew that she had to cover 3.5 miles, but she'd had a bit of a tough week, and she was like, if this needs to be like a mental health walk, then that's absolutely fine. She's been really sticking to her training plan, so she's doing great, and she's like, maybe this can just be a walk. But she ended up being like, oh no, I really want to, and she was flying away, and said that she ended up actively choosing, you know, that when she went downhill, that she wanted to do a bit of an uphill to compensate, and then, you know, she had a great run and she really, really loved it. That was after a long shit day. She works in a primary school and is constantly on her feet. Whereas she said that the 6 mile one that she did on the weekend, she'd done all the things that she was supposed to. She drank lots of water the night before. She got really good sleep. She'd woken up 2 hours early to have some breakfast and then waited before going out so that she had digested everything properly. And she said it was just absolutely trash, just a shit run. And why does that happen to us sometimes, that like the runs that we are expecting, so, you know, tired, low energy, rubbish, end of the day. I know it's slightly shorter, which is a little bit, makes it a bit confusing, but you know, we know that it applies to runs of exactly the same distance as well, or even longer runs compared to shorter runs.
Right. And I have so many answers to this, so many, because
I wasn't expecting like, that. I was like, well, we'll ruminate on that for a bit and then we'll move on. I'm so glad you've got some answers.
So many answers, because the thing is that she sort of started that off by saying there was nothing different, but there is so many different things between those two runs. And first of all, I would say, you can talk about general hormonal differences, right? So there could be she could have just tipped into a different kind of luteal phase or whatever. There could have been that. There could have been the fact that there is a big difference between running in the morning and running in the evening. I much, much prefer running in the morning, but I always feel better on the very rare occasions that I run in the evening. Because you've not just had breakfast, you've had breakfast and lunch, you've probably had some snacks, you'll have drunk loads more water.
Yeah.
And you've got stuff to overcome. So there's kind of, like, there's times occasionally when we've come back, like from a weekend away, and I've gone for a run at a really weird time for me, like 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that, just because I've not gone out in the morning. And I found those runs so easy because I've been cooped up and I've been stressed in some way, and I've wanted the run to kind of get my head in gear as well as my legs. And there's the kind of the mental and physical kind of release of doing it. It's fucking
brilliant.
That's
one of the things she said. Interesting. She was like, oh, I was just so angry at the world.
Yeah.
The best fuel. Best fuel sometimes.
The best fuel. The best fuel. So I think there's those two things. I also think, because this is something I wanted to bring it up, because my running over the past couple of weeks has felt treacly and horrible and really, really awful. And so for the first time possibly in my life, I listened to some of the advice that we've been listening to on this podcast. And I can't remember who was talking to us about HRV, but so heart rate variability. I went on to Garmin Connect and I just looked at, I was just like interested. I was like, oh, well, I wonder what that's doing. And happily, Garmin color codes. And the past 2 weeks of my HRV, it's been all orange and red. Mm-hmm. So my HRV status has been unbalanced and low and poor quality. And before that, when I was running fine, it was green. So
what is HRV and why does that happen? What is that?
All of those questions are things I'm not going to particularly be able to understand.
Okay, well, let's see if we can potentially speak to an expert, because I would like to know. I worry about my heart rate variability because I know that, for example, it takes me a really long time to recover again if I've done something, if I've exerted myself.
But this, so heart rate variability is not to do with your heartbeat. It's to do with the spaces in between your heartbeats. And it does vary. Everyone's varies. Okay. It's never an exact space between the beats. Okay. And nothing like the exercise, well, exercise is going to help, obviously, but right, so let me just show you. I'll show you mine if I can find it. Heart rate. Oh, that's not helping at all. Hang on. This is fun times on a podcast, isn't it? Here we are. HRV status. I am currently balanced. Lots of it is to do with things like sleep, as well as exercise, and it's the quality of the sleep that you're getting. But if I showed you. All right. So again, for the purposes of the pod, this probably doesn't help because I'm showing a picture.
She's got about a third of that is a green, or maybe even half is green, green lines. Yeah. And then she goes orange, red, and then a tiny bit of green in the last few days.
In the last few days. So that's a four week average. And you see, I've really pushed in the middle of January. And the middle of January is bad, isn't it, for all of us? It's bad for all of us, but that also completely reflects my cycle.
Yeah.
So that's the beginning of my period, right at the beginning there as well. So sluggish, tired, sleeping really bad. I sleep really bad at the beginning of my first week of my period. I sleep really, really bad. I'm always kind of wakeful. I have lots of dreams. So lots of REM sleep rather than deep.
I've been having that for the last like week, I've just been having really intense dreams, waking up in the middle of the night. Like my dreams have felt so at the forefront of my mind that like I'm waking up and panicking in relation to the dreams. Like I'll be like, oh God, bloody this happened. And then going, oh no.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Me and my brother-in-law weren't laughing at that man because he got bit by a rat or something.
It's awful, isn't it? I don't know what it is about that subconscious brain. And like, it completely affects how I am the whole day. If I'm woken up mid-dream,
and which happens a lot in those, especially the first week of period, and then a little bit goes into sort of second week as well. And yeah, and it just means that, like, for instance, over the last couple of days or whatever, I have been, that's why I've been hyper-focused on supplements and things like that, because I'm thinking, why am I waking up feeling so tired when I know I'm getting at least 8 hours? Mm. But I'm still waking up as if I've had 5.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like having to drag myself up and not understanding why that is. And I mean, I could blame it on January, I could blame it on this, but I think there's some more stuff going on inside, and Lex might be having this too, where, you know, it might be, yeah, because of her cycle, whatever, because of, you know, things. So I do blame hormones and, you know, the government and obviously Brexit.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. And Putin.
Always.
Yeah, if he listens, please don't come for us. No. That was really interesting and I really enjoyed that.
Thanks.
But I have got a suggestion. I know we've got some other bits that we wanted to talk about, and I do want to wish you huge luck. I'm actually going to do a little, lots of you sent us emails and a few of you reviewed as well last time, which was really, really lovely, because I did a little beg. This week, my beg is send Esther just a barrage of emails telling her she's amazing and good luck with her Barcelona half, because she's going to be amazing. But I did, in the meantime, want to hear from the pod squad a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We promised this last week, and then I was incredibly worried that we weren't going to be able to fulfill it, because we were like, where actually are all of the Wall of Shame cards? We've got them. Thanks to Cara. We've got them.
Yep.
So should we have the What You Saying jingle? And would we like a special,
what a good idea,
good old chunk of you guys stuff? Because we've got fucking tons of it. What are you saying?
What are you saying?
What are you saying this week?
And now we've had the jingle, let's definitely explain. So when we were at the National Running Show, and I do realize that not hundreds of you came, there were lots of you, but not all of you, which is a shame, because I think you all should have gone there, because it was amazing. But while we were there, part of our stand was a wall of shame, and we don't want to shame people, obviously, so maybe we need to check our language.
It was about relinquishing the shame.
Yes, exactly that. And it was about, we wanted you to tell us your most embarrassing, awful moments on a run. And, you know, we've had our own, we've talked about them at length, and we've shat ourselves for your listening pleasure, to be honest.
Yeah,
so we wanted to hear about yours, because, you know, we can't just give. We wanted to take back.
Yeah, we did want to take back. So in no particular order, these are the surviving Wall of Shame cards. I realised there were a couple that people ended up taking home with them or ended up getting a bit lost in the ether, but we have a good chunk of the most hilarious submissions to the Wall of Shame. Hopefully this makes you feel normal. If you've put your name, I'm going to name and shame you. If you haven't, it's a non. I'm going to start. Right. So this one is running in Prestwich. Prestwich.
Go for
Prestwich. Head down, getting it done. Lamppost straight to the forehead. I cried running past my mum and she just laughed at me.
Oh,
brutal.
God, I remember when she wrote that.
I do too. Right, your turn,
one?
Esther. Yeah, you do one now.
Okay. Okay. This one is 2K into a 10K. My sports bra came unzipped. I tried to style it out, but realized I couldn't. Ended up having to stop and rezip it while hundreds of other runners went by. And that was Alison.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Okay, I've got another one here. On a long training run in a very remote area, I needed to dash behind a bush. She's put that in inverted commas there. Only to come out and see a dog walker watching me. That was Savannah. Oh dear.
Great.
That's a slight running theme.
I love that. Oh, I think this might be the same person. Oh no, maybe it's not. Someone has obviously written more than once, and in this one said, I also, so there must have been another shameful moment. I also did the how do you pronounce that? Conwy?
Conwy. That sounds Welsh to me.
Oh.
Is it?
Let's go Conwy.
Conwy. I also did the Conwy half hungover and was taken over by the actual Ron Hill, who was about 80 at the time. Ah, yes. Ron Hill.
Oh, my God. That's actually a claim to fame.
That is a huge claim to fame.
More, more like.
Yeah, I think I do understand that. No one likes to be taken over by, overtaken by someone who is substantially older than them. That's always my thing. That's always my thing when I'm looking at the backs of people when I'm in races and stuff and I see them and I just think, oh my God, I'm probably 20 years younger than you and you're just like acing this and zooming past me.
But everyone's
everyone's different. And if you're going to be zoomed past by anyone, then Ron Hill is a good choice.
Also, Esther, you do look about 23, I always think, so. They're probably like, God, look at that young whippersnapper.
Not when I'm running. Oh my God. Like, did I, all of those, when I went to that lovely Apple thing week before last, that press thing, which is wonderful. I was trying out the Apple Ultra and it was all good times. And I was at Apple HQ in Battersea, which is the poshest office I've ever been in. I was having the best time and I'd put on loads of makeup because I knew there was going to be photographers and stuff. But of the photographs that came back to me, I think 9 of the 10, I looked ancient. I looked like the witches in, well, I just looked like a witch, basically.
Oh, the Roald Dahl just witches.
It was Roald Dahl. I was actually thinking of Stardust, you know, when they all...
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Michelle Pfeiffer, when she goes really old.
Yeah, and it all just sort of drops down, doesn't it? And I was just like, yeah, I look like the after pictures here. This is not good. So I couldn't post any of them. I got a picture of me in a yoga pose and that was it. And I was like, oh, I can only put the static ones up. Anyway.
I thought that looking at the pictures of me at the NRS, not that it should matter, and I would never, ever say, if you're not going to say it to your friend, why would you say it to yourself? But, oh my goodness, I did a lot of standing next to thin people. And it really knocked me. Every time I saw a picture, I was like, bloody hell, who's that 3 times the size of everyone else?
Oh, it's me. It's whenever we take a selfie, which is all the time with Jenny Faulkner, and it's like, I'm standing next to the hottest, most beautiful woman in the world, I think. I don't want to have a selfie anymore.
I know, and then she gets loads of pervs on her Instagram being like, beautiful Jenny, so stunning, yeah. Gorgeous. And I'm always like, what about us?
Lurching next to her like some kind of troll.
Oh, why don't the pervs want to comment on our pictures? Okay, back to the wall of shame here. We've
sorry,
got
yes.
One from our classic, a classic pod squatter, Ulrika. Mm-hmm. We went to Paris with her and she is very lovely. She says, I slapped someone accidentally in the face, flailing my arm through the finish line in a local 10K race. I absolutely love that one.
I love that. And you can totally see how that would happen because everyone does that thing of raising their arms up these days. You could totally, yeah, bash.
Uppercut.
Ah, that's top one. Dear. Oh, we car. Oh, okay. So I've got one. This one has no name. Too
okay.
Shameful.
Anon.
Too shameful.
Anon.
Anon. She says, I'm saying she, they say, wore capris that were too light coloured on a too hot day. Mm. I can see where this is going.
Yeah.
Ended my long run looking totally like I wet myself. Oh, mate.
A classic.
I am. That time that I wore those pale grey leggings to a spin class is ingrained in my head. I would never, ever do that again.
I had baby blue ones that also had a butt scrunch. It was an absolute disaster. Never, ever again. Why and who is designing this stuff?
Who's doing that? What is it with the butt scrunch thing as well? What? Why are people doing that? Why is that a good thing?
It looks rough. Honestly, I look awful. It looked like my ass was eating the leggings and like, oh yeah, but like not even in like a clean way because of the scrunch.
Is it scrunch? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like eating them up, but like like it's sort of like got like bits in its mouth. Oh, it's horrible. It looked really, really awful. And you could see every single dimple of cellulite in those as well. Yeah.
Those always do that, especially when it's a pale colour. So it's like, these are designed for like plastic mannequins, right? Not actual people, surely.
Yeah.
And why is that? I don't understand how it can be flattering on anyone that's at all normal, that's
maybe
not made of plastic.
Maybe if you have a small bum that you want to look big, but as somebody with a larger ass, a bum scrunch does absolutely nothing. And I feel like you've got to have a bit of an ass to some degree as well, because otherwise then that's going to look really wrinkly.
Now there we go, right? So I have a flat ass. And so when I put a bum scrunch, the one time that I put on a bum scrunch legging, it looked, I've never, apart from in the photographs from Apple the week before last, never looked quite as old. And this was years ago.
Yeah.
It looked, I looked like I had the oldest bum in the world. And what's the natural progression as far as I'm concerned? If you're going to have like bum scrunch leggings, is it going to move around to the front?
Fanny
like,
scrunch.
You know, is that going to, yeah.
Special camel toe leggings.
God.
I think they did a bit of that as well for me. Those bum scrunch ones. Yeah, I don't think that was an intentional part of the design, but I think that was going on a little bit. They were just awful. I would name and shame, but they were a gifted one, and I don't feel like I can. But best believe they didn't make it anywhere into the reviews. They got one star and given straight to a charity shop. Oh dear. Here was one of my absolute favourites from the Wall of Shame. I loved this one. Really, really enjoyed it. It's simple but effective. I tore my rotator cuff by getting stuck in a sports bra.
Oh God.
Loved it.
Oh my God. So let me say, these are two sports bra related incidents that we need to think about with when it comes to sports design. And one is pulling over your head sports bras, particularly after you've sweated too much, because that's the time that I almost had to get my neighbour around to cut me out, because I was just, I had like an elbow out and
it's
you get
nightmare.
Completely stuck
Why?
In them. Don't know.
Why?
It's weird.
Nothing feels worse than trying to get that off. Yeah, honestly.
It makes you want to cry, doesn't it?
It makes you want to burst into tears. And it makes you panicky, like when you get a necklace stuck or a ring stuck on your finger, or like it's that feeling where you're like, oh, get it off. Oh, I'm so sorry. God. I hope you recovered, but that really made me laugh.
That was, actual injury. Right, my go. Right. This one was, again, we have no, oh, I love the end of this one. We have no name for this one either. Mm-hmm. I run ultras, and every training run, I get caught by an unsuspecting dog walker while I'm squatting in a bush.
Nice.
So that's nice.
Yeah, there's a definite
It's always the dog
theme.
Walkers.
It's all, yeah, yeah. Dog walk. Dog walkers, pervs, breaking news. Groundbreaking journalism on this podcast. This one I really enjoyed as well, and it's a little bit of a similar vein. No dog walkers this time, but whilst out on a long run, I had to run into the bushes, fell into stinging nettles, stung my ass before having to poo in the stinging nettles.
Nice.
Oh, triple whammy.
That's really unpleasant, isn't it? That's not nice. I don't think that's shameful. I think that's just painful. That's just like,
yeah,
we've all got to do
that's it, not very it's nice. Stinging nettles are another one of those things that make you cry, because they don't feel like enough of a thing to like be justified being, you know, really upset or in real pain with. So it's exactly the kind of thing that makes you cry, like when you bump your head and it's like,
yeah,
or walking into a lamppost, because it's like, it's also things that other people are going to find funny. And it's like, but I'm actually really sad.
That's so fun. That walking to a lamppost, I mean, that's hilarious. I remember walking into a tree when I was about
I think I was 8 or 9 or something, maybe a little bit older than that. But I remember doing it because I was walking a lot. I was so bored in the early 80s. There was nothing to watch on TV. It was probably, you know, like 5 o'clock in the afternoon and Cracker Jack had finished or something. Nothing to watch, nothing to do, no friends, something or other. Anyway, so I was walking along the road and I was just seeing how far I could go with my eyes closed.
Just classic hijink.
Straight into a train.
That's
and I did
amazing.
Feel really sorry for myself, even though I'd been a complete idiot.
I did a lamppost as well once when I was walking back from the swimming pool in primary school. Hell, having to go swimming in primary school.
Oh, awful. Ugh.
And we were walking back, being sort of herded back to primary school. And I was turning around over my shoulder to talk to Piers Mitchell. I remember exactly who it was. And we were having a conversation. And then I just saw him suddenly go, ah! And before it was too late, I went bong straight into it. Oh, and I was so embarrassed. And that was another one where I had to be like, ha, 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 ha. Oh my God. Yes. Funny. But really, I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Oh, God.
Whose turn is it? Yours.
Mine, because this is great. although I can't read. I can't read where it was. But again, anonymous. I got caught in a tornado on somewhere, promenade, and had to crawl into a hotel for assistance.
Oh, my God. I'm imagining the most dramatic.
That's not shameful, but I'm thinking of what am I thinking of? Wizard of Oz.
Oh yeah.
So I'm thinking that it's kind of that sort
little
of
red shoes
of...
swirling around and around.
Yeah.
Bits of brie.
So again, not shameful, but I mean that's a story. Getting caught in a tornado.
I've never known a tornado in the UK.
Yeah, I don't know if this is. I can't read the writing.
Galway. Is it Ireland?
Is it Galway?
Galway. Oh,
maybe it is. Yeah, I thought that was an E. Yeah, maybe it is. Galway.
Oh,
tornadoes
well,
in Galway? Right in.
Maybe that's what it's like over there. Right in,
God
yeah.
knows.
I had to have a wee on my first half marathon in a person's front garden because I missed the toilet stop.
Oh, yeah. No.
That's sad.
Oh, that is sad. What are you laughing at? The next one.
I'm laughing at how we both just went, oh, that's sad, that one.
Well, it is sad.
It's sad. They're all sad because we should all
they
feel...
all sad.
We shouldn't feel shame.
We shouldn't feel shame. And also it's the empathy, isn't it? Because it's just like, oh my God, what do you do in that circumstance? But it's like,
I can imagine myself being there.
Yes, exactly that. You can just be, you can imagine you feeling exactly the same. And I had a lovely conversation with two very lovely women whose names, I'm sorry, I've now completely forgotten, at the running show. And they talked to me at length and very, very enthusiastically about she-wees. And they were just like, oh yeah, and
there was a lot of shiwi chat at NRS this year.
It was great, actually. And I did say to one of them, when you use your shiwi, do you find yourself standing up with pride, like you know, like hands on?
I would.
Going, well, I'm weeing here.
Yeah,
and she said,
I would.
Yes, I do. I do actually. Yeah.
I would love it.
Because I was just thinking, with your one, with that woman there, she had to kind of you know squat down. You know, behind a wall or something in a bush in someone's front garden, and it just makes you feel rubbish, doesn't it?
Whereas if you're a bloke up against the tree,
you stand up, don't you?
Yeah.
There's a whole wall on the Bath half marathon.
Yeah,
there's an entire wall, and they just all stand behind and just look at you as you're running past. And it's like, well, it's good for you, isn't it? Well done.
Yeah. I'm going to get a shiwi, I think, and I'm going to 100% stand with pride.
Let's do it.
Hashtag stand with pride. New campaign? I reckon.
Piss with pride.
Okay. Oh, no, it's your turn.
Oh,
so I'm a bit worried. Have I given you more than fewer than me?
Oh, I don't know. I've got like three okay. left.
I've got quite a lot left. I'll do another one then.
Okay.
And then I'll
do another
one. Sorry, I've counted them wrong. Okay.
I ran my first Great North Run half marathon. What I did not expect was the level of chafing mid-period and what a towel can do even with a towel change. I'm presuming that she means the sanitary towel here.
Yeah, yeah, period towel.
Cowboy walk to the ferry. Ferry? Is there a ferry?
Ferry where?
From Great North Run. Sorry, I've interrupted that. But
you do. Oh, you finish at South Shields. So yeah, yeah, I think you can.
Yeah, okay. So she says, cowboy walk to the ferry, an urgent search for Sudocreme to no avail. Never again. Oh. Carpet.
Oh, burn. Yes. It's very, I agree with that. I do agree with that. I have that problem too. Yes, need to get into more sort of modern period wear, don't we all?
But then I feel like I have that period or not. Like if I run or even if I just do a long walk sometimes, then it will be like, oh, it's painful. It can get really painful.
Yo, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Normal? Okay, good.
Yeah, good. I think it's very, very normal. I was like, no. I was froze just going, oh my God, you're mental. No, yeah. Very normal. right, okay, so I had... I quite like this. again, anon. Mm-hmm. Am ultra runner who often eats a lot on runs, because that's what you do as an ultra runner.
Yeah.
On Christmas Eve, I ran to a cafe, 3.5 miles each way, to be specific, and puked up cake in a grate on the way home while all my friends stared at me.
Oh, well, this is actually, we've worked this out brilliantly. But yeah, what a waste of cake. And similarly, this one is, ate too late for an ultra and the only food on offer was Thai curry. 6 miles in, I had horrendous stomach cramps and had to poo stop on the side of the road. Luckily, it was 1 a.m. Sorry, Cornwall. Oh my God. Okay, we've reached these ones now because this one's a bit similar.
Okay. So okay,
this
go on
one
then.
Is, I'm going to do one more and then I think we're perfectly matched to alternate again.
Marvellous. Yeah.
Whilst running the Birmingham 10K, I decided to eat Love Hearts. They fizzed up like Mentos in a bottle of Coke. Thankfully, I made it to the finish before throwing up. Oh.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. You poor people.
That's so good.
Kelly has signed this one, and she said, I collapsed at a half marathon and threw up all over the doctor that treated me.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like that at all.
That's sad. Yeah. Big cuddles. Yeah. I'll give you big cuddles.
Yeah. Big cuddles.
I tripped whilst pushing the double buggy around my local park run. Both children were tipped up as I pushed the handlebars down and looked up at the sky.
God. Everyone carried on running around me.
No, shame on them. Shame on them.
Oh. Oh no. Don't laugh at women tipping children out of... Anyway, Amy here. I was running down a canal and I slipped and tripped over a bollard, which in itself is a funny word,
yeah,
and fell into a canal boat.
Oh my God. Immediately imagining if you've fallen onto a canal boat, then there's nothing for it apart from to just don a pipe and start setting sail.
Oh my God. I can imagine the noise of it as well, because, you know, that wooden boat. You're just going to be waking up everyone in the boat.
Oh my God.
She says, fortunately, it wasn't the actual canal, but I think that's worse than falling into the canal.
I kind of agree. Oh, it would suck to fall into the canal, but at least people wouldn't accuse you of grand
like
theft.
Burgling.
Grand theft boat. Grand theft vessel.
Oh, I love that one.
That was incredible. I loved that one too. I'm glad I gave you that one.
Always giving me the fear though, because obviously I run along canals quite a lot.
Well, you know, if it happens, sing a round of Rosie and Jim and get into it. This one is, I went for a run around my local area, and as I turned around a bend, a cyclist was coming from the opposite direction. I tripped over my own feet trying to avoid them and to not lose pace, and ended up practically pirouetting over the curb and straight onto my arse into a puddle. Not my finest moment. Aww. That was from Lula, who has got the nicest writing, incidentally, that I've ever known of anybody in the world. Beautiful handwriting.
Amazing. Is that all we've got?
So there were more, and I don't know where they've all gone. I'm so sorry if yours got lost in transit, but I'm so glad that we still had so many of them, because
I tell you what though, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. If you guys have had embarrassing moments, you didn't make it to the NRS and you've not emailed us about it, then if you could email wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk, I want to hear more of these, because it has cheered me right up.
Yeah, let's flog that old horse again, because it's been a while. Yes, we've had a few live events where we've got you guys to do embarrassing moments recently. But yeah, we haven't asked the general listeners for a really long time. You used to send in some absolute corkers. So let's get it back on the road again or something. Back in the saddle.
Yeah, that kind of... Back on the canal boat.
You're back on the canal boat. Honestly, no option but to commandeer it and drive off into the sunset so that anybody who saw never sees you again.
That's my favourite one ever. I'm going to go and tell Doug that.
It's wonderful. Oh my God.
Oh, that was really amazing. I kind of want to illustrate it.
Yeah. You definitely want to see it, don't you? It's brilliant. Yeah. Need to put it into a sitcom or something.
Absolute shout out. That was fucking great. Love you all. Filled with huge amounts of love after that, because they were all amazing. And that really, I was feeling a little bit down going into this recording. Mm-hmm. And that's really cheered me up. I was worried. I was like, am I going to be able to summon the energy? Got a bit of a sore back. Had a bit of a shit night again. It's Tuesday morning, which is almost sometimes worse than Monday, because it's like
Tuesday
all over again. But that has thoroughly cheered me. I'm feeling over the moon now.
So all we need to do in future, ahead of every single podcast recording, is stand in a room with 14,000 other people and ask them to write down their most embarrassing moments on revision cards. And yeah, I think that's fine. We can do that.
Yeah, defo. Yeah. Defo.
No problem at all.
Maybe this is what the pod is now. It's just full episodes of what you're saying.
It's nothing to do with what we're saying. It's
no.
What they're saying.
That era is dead.
Canal boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck us. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck us. It's all about you guys now. Actually, it is worth saying, if you want it to be even more about you, stay in touch. And the best way that you can do that, obviously, you can email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk. But you can also join us on Patreon. If you don't know what that is, we have ads for it in the episodes, don't we? So this is annoying that I'm saying this.
No.
But the very best part of it is if you head to patreon.com/womensrunning, then and sign up, little as £2 a month, I think you can do it for, and then you can be part of our Pod Squad group chat, which is really a thing of wonder at the moment. Like, it's really it's kicking off more and more every day.
But not in a fighty way. In a supportive, lovely
way.
It's gorgeous.
During this podcast recording, I will have had that's basically all my notifications is Pod Squad. It's just you guys, you know, mouthing off, and I love it. I love reading it. I love the support. It's so, so lush. And I believe there is a function. I'm really trying to make this happen, and maybe I need to demonstrate it in order to be brave enough to actually get other people to do it. But there is a function where you can send voice notes. So if you ever want to tell us some of your silliest stories, biggest queries, growing concerns, then I think you can send us a voice note on there.
And then we can just put it straight onto the pod. So that would be amazing. That would be cool.
It would feel very professional. Dave would absolutely kick off at us, but...
Totally kick off. Yeah. It'd be fun. I might get a recording of him kicking off and put that on as well.
Oh, nice. Special guest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we've got a meeting in 10 minutes and I'm gagging for another coffee.
Me too. Okay, let's do that then.
Okay. Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. Do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.